You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Picture a fence. Not the kind you notice. Not the kind anyone frames in a photograph. Just an old, split-rail wooden fence at the edge of a field in Laramie, Wyoming. Under the October moon, it looks almost silver. The kind of silver that tricks you into thinking things are peaceful. But on the night of October 7th, 1998, that fence held the weight of a boy. A boy tied to the wood by rope. A boy beaten so brutally that when the first responder knelt beside him, she could only see tracks where the tears had carved two clean lines down his blood-covered face. If you were standing there that morning, the sun barely rising over the plains, you would never forget that image. And neither do I. Welcome to the In-Between Podcast. I'm your host, Mel Barrett. And today I'm going to tell you the story of Matthew Shepard, not as a symbol, not as a headline, but as a 21-year-old kid who walked into a bar on a quiet Tuesday night and never walked back out again. Because before he became legislation, before he became memorials and vigils and angel wings blocking hateful signs, he was just Matthew. It's the evening of October 6th, the kind of chill that means winter is stretching its fingers across Wyoming. Matthew Shepard puts on his black leather jacket and heads to a local bar, the Fireside Lounge. 21 years old, 5'2", and 105 pounds soaking wet. A political science major, openly gay, thoughtful in that way where people describe you as gentle, but also the kind of kid who lights up when he talks about world affairs and human rights. Inside the bar, the lights are low, a pool game clicks in the background. Matthew orders a drink, chats with a friend, probably thinks about a midterm or Halloween or what he's going to do after college. And then two strangers walk in, Aaron McKinney and Russell Henderson, both high school dropouts, broke, drifting. McKinney, explosive temper, meth habit, the kind of guy who thinks intimidation is currency, and Henderson, quieter, raised in chaos, abused, floats behind McKinney like a shadow that hasn't figured out how to be its own shape. And they spot Matthew, and they make a decision to pretend that they're gay, that they're friendly, that they're giving him a ride home. Matthew says yes, he gets into their truck, and the door shuts. That sound, the slam of a car door, is one of the last normal sounds Matthew ever hears. The truck heads out of Laramie. Streetlights disappear. The road stretches into open darkness, and somewhere on that road, McKinney turns around in the front seat and says something that changes the temperature inside that cab instantly. He says, "We're not gay, and you're gonna get jacked." Henderson will later say he hated what happened next. McKinney will admit he did it because Matthew was gay. But in that moment, the roles are locked in. The violence has already begun.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
McKinney pulls out a heavy .357 Magnum pistol. He starts pistol whipping Matthew. Blow after blow, skull fracturing, blood everywhere. Matthew tries to protect his head, tries to speak, tries to breathe. And it doesn't matter. McKinney drags him out of the truck. He and Henderson tie him to the split rail fence with rope from the back. And McKinney hits him again and again. Medical experts later say there were between 19 and 21 blows to Matthew's head. One of them, the last one, crushed his brainstem. Then they take his wallet and his shoes, and they drive away. They leave Matthew there, in the cold, in the dark, on a fence, small and still. And for the next 18 hours, Matthew's world is just the sound of wind moving across the plains of Wyoming. It's now October 7th. A cyclist named Aaron Kriefels is riding along a rural path. He sees something in the distance, a shape on the fence. At first, he thinks it's a scarecrow. But scarecrows don't have faces streaked with tears. He immediately calls 911, and Deputy Reggie Flutie arrives first. She kneels beside Matthew and realizes his entire face is covered in blood, except for two clean tracks carved by his tears. Two tracks that say he was awake for some of it. He felt it. And he knew. That image haunts her for decades. Matthew is rushed to a hospital in Laramie, then airlifted to Poudre Valley Hospital in Fort Collins, Colorado. Doctors examine him, 8 skull fractures, massive brain swelling, and he never regains consciousness. Across the country, news spreads fast. A gay college student in Wyoming had been beaten and left for dead, and people are asking why, how, who could do this? 5 days later, on October 12th at 12:53 a.m., Matthew Shepard dies. He is 21 years old. When Matthew died on October 12th, the world exhaled in heartbreak. But almost immediately, something darker moved in to fill the silence. And if you were alive in 1998, or if you've ever Googled Matthew's name, you already know who I'm talking about. The Westboro Baptist Church. Fred Phelps and his small army of picketers. A congregation not known for compassion, but for venom. The kind of venom they spray with handmade neon signs and megaphones and a theology that feels like it crawled straight out of a nightmare. So let's rewind for a second. After Matthew's death, Laramie was raw. There were candlelight vigils across the globe, New York, San Francisco, London. Students marched. Churches opened their doors. Parents held their queer kids a little bit tighter. Inside Poudre Valley Hospital, Judy and Dennis Shepard had just lost their son. Inside the University of Wyoming, students taped Matthew's photo to bulletin boards and wrote messages of hope and fury and mourning. A wound was still open, and into that wound walked Westboro.
We are expecting the Westboro Baptist Church from Kansas. They are among the most vitriolic of the religious right groups.
The group Silent Witness PA stood ready to oppose the Westboro Baptist Church. The Kansas-based church is known for its extreme message, protesting gays and lesbians.
Yeah, I see fag church. That's not
it's a fag
that's,
church.
That's what is?
The Episcopal Church is a fag church.
Well, that doesn't
They're
say
ordaining
that.
A dyke. It's a fag church.
What about scripture that talks about taming the tongue?
What's untamed about my tongue? I'm telling you what's going on.
The Lord Jesus Christ satisfied all the dietary law of Moses. He is all in all to his church. But a fag is still a fag. The Lord Jesus Christ said that the moral law is still in effect for all time. And he which made them in the beginning made them male and female. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Two fags cannot be one flesh.
Fred Phelps wasted no time. Before Matthew was even laid to rest, Westboro announced they were coming to protest his funeral, claiming Matthew was burning in hell, waving signs that read, God hates fags and Matt in hell. I want to pause here because sometimes people think these details are exaggerations, that surely no one would show up to a 21-year-old's funeral with that kind of calculated cruelty. But they did. I was there. I saw it. They absolutely showed up, and they continued to do so. They didn't stop at Matthew's funeral. Westboro descended on Laramie again during the trials, planting themselves outside the courthouse with their fluorescent signs and slurs, trying to turn grief into spectacle. It was theater to them. But for the Shepherds and for the town, it was salt in a wound still wide open. Imagine walking into a courthouse to watch the trial of your son's killers and hearing a megaphone blast, your son is in hell. This is the level of depravity we are talking about here.
It's a good time to go out in Casper, Wyoming to inject a little sanity and a Bible truth into that insane orgy of homosexual propaganda and lies. I mean, every fag group in the country was using that, making that poor dead boy a poster boy to promote their filth and encouraging all the youth of America to hold him up as somebody to emulate. He was not a good man. This is not a good thing he did. He's in hell now. La 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 la.
But Laramie and the LGBTQ community responded with something that felt almost supernatural. A group of students and activists came together and created what would become one of the most iconic counter-protests in American history. It was called Angel Action. Volunteers built massive angel wings, white cloth stretched across wooden frames, tall enough to block a line of sight. And on the day the Westboro Baptist Church showed up, screaming into the void, the angels arrived too.
We showed them that we could come together, we could stand in an action that was simple and beautiful and effective.
The inspiration behind the wings is Angel Action, created by Romaine Patterson and a friend after their friend, Matthew Shepherd, was murdered in an anti-gay hate crime in the 90s in the U.S.
He designed these gigantic angel wings, which, you know, really served as a purpose of blocking out the protesters that were behind us and kind of shielding the community and Matthew Shepherd's parents as they went into the courthouse in Laramie that day for the trial of Matthew's killers.
They stood silently around the Shepherds and the people entering the church, their wings extended like shields. No yelling, no signs, just quiet. Quiet that said, we will not let hate be the loudest voice here. Photos from that day looked almost biblical. Westboro in the background with their acid neon rage, and in front of them, a wall of white wings, soft and unmoving, protecting a family from cruelty on the worst day of their lives. This visual, the angels and the picketers, it ricocheted across the nation. It made it clear that Matthew Shepherd's murder wasn't just a crime, it was a mirror that asked America, is this really who we are? Is this how we treat our children? And under that pressure, under the scrutiny, under the shame, the country began to shift, not quickly, never quickly enough, but shift it did. And the vigils grew. Editorials demanded change. Parents who had never said the word gay out loud began whispering it with fear and trembling, not because of their child's identity, but because they suddenly knew what the world could do to them. Matthew's murder became the line in the sand. And the presence of the Westboro Baptist Church at the funeral and the trial only hardened the resolve of millions. Their hatred didn't drown Matthew's story, it amplified it. It made people ask, if this is the face of intolerance, which side am I on? And quietly, steadily, America began to choose compassion. And then the trials came. Henderson went first. He takes a plea deal in April 1999, murder and kidnapping, avoiding the death penalty. He gets two consecutive life sentences, no parole. Forever. He apologizes. He says he's ashamed. He says he wishes he could undo it. But I'm sorry doesn't bring a boy back from a fence in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
And then McKinney's trial. And here's where the case tries to tilt sideways. His lawyers attempt what's called a gay panic defense, the idea that Matthew made a sexual advance and McKinney snapped. It's archaic, it's vile, it's victim blaming at its most cowardly. And Judge Barton Voigt shuts it down completely. Because the truth, the real truth, is exactly what McKinney eventually admits. He targeted Matthew because he was gay. After a 3-week trial, McKinney is convicted of felony murder. And then comes the moment that feels almost biblical. In the penalty phase, Dennis Shepard stands up, and everyone expects him to ask for death. Instead, he looks at the man who killed his son, and he says, "I would like nothing better than to see you die, Mr. McKinney. But this is the time to begin the healing process. I'm going to grant you life because of Matthew." McKinney receives the same sentence as Henderson. 2 life sentences, no parole. He will die in prison. And the door of that chapter closes. Matthew's murder becomes a catalyst of sorts. Not immediately. This country rarely moves quickly when queer lives are taken, but inevitably. Judy and Dennis start the Matthew Shepard Foundation. They turn grief into purpose. The Laramie Project premieres, a masterpiece made of interviews, contradictions, wounds, and truths.
Laramie is a beautiful town. It's secluded. Now, after Matthew, we're a town defined by a crime.
And you're going to use our words?
I've never done anything like this before. How do you get people to talk to you? What do you ask?
I seen what appeared to be a young man who was bound to the bottom of the pole.
The perpetrators themselves were kids, local kids.
That certainly offends us.
They wanted to teach him a lesson not to come on to straight people.
We don't grow children like that here. Well, it's pretty clear we do grow children like that here.
I should have known. These guys should not have been talking to that guy.
Hate crime's a hate crime. You murder somebody, you hate them. I don't know.
This is America.
Love the person for who they are, but condemn them for what they do.
Some people are gonna be sent to hell! And I think you know who you are.
Someone needs to stand toe-to-toe with him and show the difference.
What's come out of it?
Good is coming out of evil. People have said enough is enough.
This whole thing ropes around hope. H-O-P-E.
This is no longer about Laramie. This is about the whole country.
A mirror held up to a town that didn't ask for this story, but now can't escape it. And after 11 years of fighting, the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act becomes law in 2009. Federal protection for crimes motivated by sexual orientation, gender identity, disability, categories long ignored. It shouldn't have taken a death like Matthew's to get there, but it did. And the law carries his name. It's been more than 2 decades. Both killers remain incarcerated, Henderson in Wyoming, McKinney transferred out of state. Some years ago, Henderson expressed remorse. McKinney gave conflicting interviews, sometimes repentant, sometimes cruel, sometimes rewriting the story like he's the one who needs comforting. But none of that changes the fact that Matthew never made it home from the bar that night. It also doesn't change that hate crimes against LGBTQ+ people remain shockingly high, especially for trans individuals like Sam Nordquist, whose death I covered several episodes back. We still live in a country where people turn their heads away from the truth because it's easier than looking directly at the fence. When I think about Matthew now, it's impossible not to think about the world we lived in then and the world we live in now. Because back in 1998, when Matthew was killed, people fought for him. They fought for the truth of what happened to him. They fought for the language to describe it. Hate crime wasn't even universally recognized back then. They fought for that legislation that finally arrived 11 years later with his name carved into it. Back then, the country looked at Matthew Shepard tied to a fence on a cold Wyoming night and said, "This cannot happen again." And for a moment that felt like maybe we were stepping into a new path, change actually moved forward. The vigils, the angels blocking the hatred at his funeral, the marches, the lawmakers whose hands shook as they signed the protections into law. There was momentum. There was hope. And it felt like progress had a pulse. But here's the part that stings when I say it out loud. That tide, that movement, it's shifted.
It's the middle of Pride Month, and there is a very scary anti-gay, anti-trans obsession on the right across the country right now.
When did our public schools, any schools, become what are essentially grooming centers for gender identity radicals?
Now, this has jumped from unhinged QAnon conspiracies to state laws pushed by conservative populists seeking to stoke the culture wars.
The brutal murders of several LGBTQ plus people and their allies in recent weeks are raising alarm across the country. Among those cases, the shooting death of 66-year-old Laura Ann Carlton earlier this month in Lake Arrowhead, California. Carlton was killed after an argument about a rainbow pride flag hanging outside her store. And last month, the murder of 28-year-old dancer O'Shea Sibley. Sibley, who was gay, was fatally stabbed during a confrontation at a gas station in Brooklyn, New York. Police say Sibley confronted a group of people who made homophobic slurs and racist remarks while he and his friends were dancing and voguing.
Each of the defendants are facing charges in connection to the alleged torture and murder of a transgender man from Minnesota, Sam Nordquist.
On the same day, a group of 31 people affiliated with the white nationalist group Patriot Front were arrested near a Pride Parade event in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. They had masks, riot shields, and at least one smoke grenade. Police say they were planning to start a riot at that Pride event.
Some days it feels like the tide has turned so hard it's pulling us backwards. Because now, decades later, we're watching states rip LGBTQ plus protections off the books. We're seeing legislation targeting trans kids. Kids. Introduced at record speed. We're watching school boards ban books because they dare to show queer joy or queer struggle. We're seeing drag bans, bathroom bans, healthcare bans. We're seeing people recycle the same fear-mongering that should have died in the 90s, but somehow found new oxygen. And it's disorienting to remember that Matthew's murder once united millions, while now politicians actively campaign on erasing queer people from public life. Back then, the question was, how do we make sure this never happens again? Now, too often, the question feels like, how did we end up here again? And here's the truth I keep coming back to in cases like this. Progress is not permanent. Justice is not permanent. Compassion is not permanent. It has to be tended and guarded and protected. Because the same country that said never again in Matthew's name is the same country where LGBTQ plus people now face legislative attacks at a level we haven't seen in decades. But here's the other truth, the one that keeps me breathing, keeps me fighting, keeps me telling these stories every week. When the tide turns backwards, that's when you paddle harder. When the world grows loud with hatred, you become louder with love. Or softer with love, which is sometimes even more powerful. When people try to erase you, you write your name bigger. When people try to silence you, you speak louder. Matthew's legacy isn't just in the law named after him. It's in the refusal to let the world slide back into complacency. It's in the angels who stood in front of the Westboro Baptist Church. It's in the parents who slammed their car doors and marched to vigils with shaking hands. It's in the queer kids who came out because they saw Matthew's face on the news and thought, someone fought for him, maybe someone will fight for me too. And it's in us, you, me, everyone listening, because remembering Matthew is not a passive act, it's a responsibility. We are the next link in the chain of protection. We are the next generation of people who get to say, no, you don't get to take us backward. So when I say Matthew's name at the end of this episode, I'm not just remembering him. I'm reminding myself and all of you that the fight didn't end with him. It didn't end with legislation. It didn't end in 1998 or 2009 or any year since. The fight is now. The fight is ongoing. And even when the tide is pulling us under, we do not stop swimming. For Matthew, for those who came before him, for those who came after, for every LGBTQ plus person whose life is treated like a political debate instead of a human being who deserves dignity and safety. The tide has turned, yes, but so have we. We know what we're fighting for. We've seen the cost of forgetting, and we're not going back. The trial of the people who tortured and murdered Sam Nordquist is coming up in the new year. I hope you'll pay attention. And Matthew, we remember you always. The In-Between podcast is written, edited, and hosted by me, Mel Barrett, and is a production of Ruby Grace Productions. Special thanks to my mentors, Amber Hunt, Ellen Marsh, and Rebecca Lavoie, for their super smart guidance and support. If you want ad-free exclusive content, bonuses, and lives, head on over to the In-Between Podcast Patreon and sign up. The intern level starts at just $4, and there's already 75-plus ad-free episodes for you to binge right now. You can watch my new show, Something's Off, with Rebecca Lavoie, over on YouTube at Something's Off Pod, or listen on Patreon. Episodes drop weekly on Fridays. Stay tuned after this episode for the trailer of Something's Off. Follow the In-Between Podcast on Blue Sky, Facebook, and YouTube at In-Between Pod, and on Instagram at The In-Between Pod Official. On TikTok, you can follow me at Jack of All Trades DC. Thanks for listening. Be good people. Don't do murder. Hello, lovely listeners. It's Mel Barrett from the In-Between Podcast. You know how we dig into stories that don't sit right, the cases where justice feels incomplete? Well, I've got something new for you. Rebecca Lavoie from Crime Writers On and I are teaming up for a brand new show called Something's Off. Every week, we'll take on the cases that make you stop and say, wait, what? From current cases like the murder of Sandra Birchmore to the trial of Karen Reed to the Long Island serial killer and all the way back to the Menendez brothers, when the story doesn't add up, that's where we dig in.
I'm Rebecca Lavoie.
And I'm Mel Barrett, and this is Something's Off.
He still pressed her, and when he did, she was just like, come on. Like, that was her. It was just like, no, that's ridiculous.
It was exactly how one should respond when being challenged with something that either isn't true or is a distortion of the truth.
How much longer can this go on?
He said, how do you know there wasn't something under where his head landed? And she said, because I saw the photos.
She's not even telling the jury that he made a mistake.
So can we talk about this kind of like bombshelly thing that happened today?
Yeah, you want to talk about the x-rays?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a new tell today.
Where
and
he would repeat
hilarious.
Back the answer that they just said.
So the tell that I saw, he would ask her a yes or no question. Like he wanted a yes and she would go, no. And he would go, oh. he would just go, oh. You know, mathematical equations. How about the fact that he said there were no x-rays?
Correct.
He, too, is a liar.
Correct. I mean, either he was lying or Hank Brennan was lying. And Alan Jackson definitely intimated Hank Brennan has been lying to you. He said to her,
do you agree that a brain is very soft, consistent with, for example, tofu?
Oh, gross.
No. And then Bev said, I'll strike that. No comments.
Yeah.
Watch Something's Off with Mel Barrett and Rebecca Lavoie on YouTube and exclusively on Patreon starting mid-October. I'll leave you a link in the show notes.